Okay. Whenever Abby is ready, I guess it's good.
Okay. Last week, we left off in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos. Much of Simei Reish Pei Bes is about Kriyas HaTorah, and then Reish Pei Dalet is about HaTorah. The Chachamim made a takana to have a Kriyas HaTorah. The HaTorah has to be Me'in Yana D'Yayma. What is the definition of In Yana D'Yayma? So usually, Rube D'Rube, In Yana D'Yayma is like the first line in the Mechaber writes, In Yana Shal HaParsha. Usually there's a relationship between whatever it says in HaTorah in the Parsha HaShavua. Sometimes it's not, Inyan V'yayma is not at all a theme of the parasha. Let's say if Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, then you say Macha Chodesh. Or if Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh, then you say Soisosis, special Haftarah for Rosh Chodesh. Or you have the Sheb Denachemta, the 7 weeks following Tisha B'Av, Tlasta Paranusa. Or there was a minig in the days of the Ramah, a minig for the days of the Bali Atosus, that if there's a chasin in shul in Shivas Yemei HaMishnah on Shabbos, so whatever the Parshas HaShavua is, you say the Haftarah of Soisosis, because the Pasuk ends off, Kechasin Echahim Per V'chakalot HaTek Cheileho. The Mishnah Berurah writes in this simen, as if the minig used to be that he said the regular Haftarah from the Parshas HaShavua, they said a few psukim from Soisosis. But that's not the way it's described in the Mordechai and the Rishayim. They say, instead of saying the Haftarah of the Parshas HaShavua, in Yana D'Yayma, that Shabbos was in Yana D'Yayma, about a chasan and a kala. Or when, I think they record, but Rav Shrevi Goen passed away, and his son, I think Rav Haigon took over, so they said over the Haftarah from the beginning of Yeshua, that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and Yeshua ben Nun was his Talmud, took over the Nesiyas of Klal Yisrael, so that was in Yana D'Yayma, on that Shabbos. So that's what the Kriyas HaTorah is supposed to be in Yana D'Yayma. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Talmidei HaGro that, I don't know if they quote this from the Vilna Gaon. They say based on what they understood from the Vilna Gaon, Tosfos in Temura and Tosfos in Yuma and other Masechtos, Tosfos raises a question. We have a din that Gemara learns out from the Psukim in the end of Parshas Kisisa. So the Gemara says, these and not the others. You should only write Torah Shebichtav. You shouldn't write down Torah Shebal Peh. Ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele is again a miyud. Al pi hadvarim ha'ele karati et chabris. The chorus HaKadosh Baruch Hu chabris in Yisrael el al inyoni Torah Shebal Peh. So al pi hadvarim ha'ele, these and not others, that dvarim Shebichtav should not be recited Bal Peh. Dvarim Shebal Peh should not be recited Bichtav. So we usually assume that that's an iser. It's an iser to the Balkari has to lay mitoch haksav. Let's say sometimes the Balkari knows the whole parsha by heart or by mitzvah boch. He went over the parsha. He went over the sedra so many times. He knows it in his sleep. He knows it by heart. But he's not allowed to lay by balpeh. He has to lay mitoch haksav. So mitoch haksav means you have to have a kosher sefer Torah. If you're laying from a pinted chumash, that's called kriya balpeh. Or let's say haftarah also, you have a novi, so you have to lay from a kosher klaf. If you're laying from a printed novi, that's balpeh. So Tosfos asked Akasha that we recite kriyashma balpeh. How do we recite kriyashma balpeh? Whenever you want to say kriyashma, you should have to lay in mitoch haksav. Or we say a lot of things balpeh. Say ashrei balpeh. They say, "Az Yashid Balpe." Say a lot of things Balpe. What happened to the Dvarim Shebichtav? Yata Rosh Eliyahu Amar Alpe. So the different suggestions are given. So the Vilna Gaon writes in a few places that he thought that the most correct answer to the question was that this halacha Dvarim Shebichtav, Yata Rosh Eliyahu Amar Alpe, only means Lahotzi Acher Medechay Vasan in Mesiras HaTorah. This din. Dvar Shebal Peh, Yatar Shaliyam and Bixab, Dvar Shebichtav, Yatar Shaliyam and Al Peh. It's not a din, you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh. The Rambam writes in the Hakdomah to the Mishnah Torah that in every generation, they used to write down Megillahs. They used to keep private notes of all of the halachas l'moshe misina and all the chidushim that they were mecharish in every generation, they wrote down the Dvarim Shebal Peh. It's a din when you give a shir, when you're giving a public shir, and the Rebbe is transmitting the Torah to the Talmidim, or the Balkari is laning for the Tzibur to be moitzi the Tzibur dechavosim. So Mesiras HaTorah has to be the way it was at the time of Maimon HaSina. Just like Dvarim Shebichsav, the Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, he should write down Dvarim Shebichsav and transmit it to Bnei Yisrael mitoch haksav, and Dvarim Shebal Peh he should transmit to Bnei Yisrael Bal Peh. So the Torah is, that's the way you're supposed to do it. And the Gemara says, when they finally wrote down the Mishnayis, how was that? And then they were learning mitoch haksav. They started to learn Mishnayis from a text. So wasn't that in violation of this din? So the Gemara says it was, the Gemara Tmura says it was based on the Pasuk, Eslas Hashem Heferu Teresecha. So what does it mean, Heferu Teresecha? So sometimes we have a concept of Chatei Bishul Shetiske. Sometimes you have, in Pirkei Avos, in the beginning of the second Perek, the Mishnah has, Hevi Mechashev Hefsed Mitzvah Keneged Tzchara, Tzchara Veira Keneged Hefsedim. So usually we learn Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, let's say, I'm going to buy a pair of tefillin. The tefillin costs $2,000 if I want to have all the hidurim. $2,000 is a lot of money. So the Mishnah recommends having mechavshit hefsid mitzvah. It's going to cost you $2,000, but consider that keneged schara. You're going to go to Olam Haba if you wear tefillin every day. It's, how can you compare? The $2,000 is a small investment in order to get Olam Haba. And also, let's say, I'm a Shemesh Shabbos, I only make so much money a year. If I take a job working on Shabbos, I'll make twice as much money. So the Mishnah recommends having Mechavshev, Schar Aveira, you think you're going to make so much more money, twice as much salary, but consider that twice as much, another $100,000, you're going to have Seder because you're going to burn in Gehenim if you're Mechal Shabbos. There's no Pikuach Nefesh. So that's the way we usually learn Pshat in the Mishnah. Whenever you're thinking of not fulfilling a mitzvah because it's too expensive, or violating an avera in order to make gain on it, so having machashiv the hefsid mitzvah connected tzchor tzchar avera connected hasid. So some of the mefarshim in the big Mishnahs in the Yochanan Boaz Mishnah, some of the mefarshim on the Gilyon, I think they quote the Shoshanim LeDavid has this David Pardo. He says he thinks that the Mishnah means fakir. That the Mishnah tells us that sometimes there's a din in rare cases. According to Matan Torah, it was more common than after Matan Torah. So sometimes we say, Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. Sometimes, just like you make an investment, so you're going to invest, let's say, $100. You may lose the $100, but you may gain $20,000. So if you're not that poor, that's a good investment. To invest, possibly losing $100, but the possibility of gaining $25,000, so that's worth it. But that's what the Mishnah tells us. Sometimes we say Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. Sometimes we recommend a person should do an avera in order to gain. Not that he's going to gain a lot of money; he's going to gain a ruchnias. And sometimes we recommend a person should be davke not do the mitzvah. The Chachamim made a gzeira when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, nobody blows shofar all over the world. Why? Because they're afraid Shemi Avirenu. If you have millions of Jews all over the world, Sloy Tochen, at least 50 people are probably going to forget and carry the shofar on Shabbos. Chutz La'erev, they're going to violate Hoytzah. So the 50 people will be Mechal Shabbos with Hoytzah. That's terrible. So it's better to have millions of Jews, 10 million Jews all over the world, not fulfill the mitzvah of Kiyos Shofar, rather than to have 50 Jews Machal Shabbos b'shoigeg by carrying the shofar. So the Mishnah is telling us this idea of Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. So some assume that that's the pshat over here. Eslas Hashem Heferu Teresecha. Sometimes we say Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. So the Rashi in the first Mishnah and the last Perek in Brochus, Perek Haroya. So you have all the Mishnahs from the whole Perek around the first daf in Perek Haroya. So the Mishnah there speaks about this idea of Eslas Hashem Eferet Teresech. It applies in certain cases. So Rashi writes that sometimes if you have a big tzorech, we are allowed to do a davar hanira iser, something that looks like an iser. Rashi doesn't learn that islas Hashem efer teresecha means chatei b'shul shetiske. Chatei b'shul shetiske applies in very rare instances, but this is a different cloud. You're permitted to do davar hanira iser. What do you mean, Dovra Hanira Issa? Let's say, writing down the Torah Shebaal Peh and learning a Givashira Gemara. So everybody has a text of a Gemara in front of them. And I'm actually in violation of this din. Instead of transmitting the Torah Shebaal Peh Baal Peh, I'm reading a text and commenting on the text. So isn't that not right in violation? So Chacham Avadya quotes, if I'm not mistaken, from in one of his Chuvas, he quotes from Reb Lezer Mimitz, from the Sefer Yireim. It's not that this is an Issa. Dvarim shebichtzav, I atar ashoi, liyomer alpeh, it's an Issa. Dvarim shebalpeh, I atar ashoi, liyomer ksav. You're not allowed to teach it. It doesn't mean that it's an Issa and it's a chatei b'shul shetiske. It means the mitzvah b'shlei Musa is when you're transmitting Torah shebichtzav to the next generation, to the students, you should, the mitzvah b'shlei Musa is to transmit it balpeh. You can have private notes. You can have notes in front of you when you speak, but you shouldn't read from a text. And Dvarim Shebichtzav, you should transmit to others. To be Motziachem Dechayvosam, you should do it Mitoch Haksav. So it's not that it's an Issa, but you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah Bishlei Musam. You're not Mekayim, and you made a conscious decision to give a shir reading the text of the Gemara. So that's a violation of Bal Tigra. The Mishnah Berurah has like that in Hilchas Tefillin. And whenever there's a mitzvah to be done, let's say the Mishnah gives an example of Bal Tigra. If a person has the korban that needs four zrikas, and instead of doing four zrikas on Dalei Kanes HaMizbeach, he only does one zrika. So the Mishnah gives that as an example of the Issa Bal Tigra. So the Mishnah Berurah points out, but b'dieved the korban is kosher. Just you didn't do the mitzvah b'shlei Musa. So that's Bal Tigra. That's Bal Tigra. If you would not be out to the mitzvah, then the Beis Halevi has a whole chili quote to Rashba. The Pashta says, that's not Bal Tigra. Let's say I'll only have Gimel Parshios in the Tefillin. Rashi HaChumash gives a marshal, Gimel Parshios instead of four. So the Beis Halevi argues, he quotes Shag Sariya, others want to say, that's not a violation of Bal Tigra, it's just Mevatel and Mitzvah Tefillin. Or let's say the Dalit Tzitzias and the four corners of the Dalit. We pass in the Dalit Tzitzis HaMa'akvim Ze'ezev. So if you only have Tzitzis in three of the four corners, so the Beis HaLevi argues that's not a violation of Bal Tigra, you're just not Yotze the Mitzvah, you're Mevatel the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. But if you have, the Beis HaLevi says, if you have Tzitzis and you have Tchelos available and you don't put in the Tchelos, that's Bal Tigra. You did the Mitzvah Big Iran, you did the Mitzvah Shalom B'Shlei Musa. And he gives Musa, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Bir Halacha there in Hilchas Tefillin, when they talk about Bal Tigra, Bal Tosef. So he gives Musa, he says, a lot of people want to take the easy way. So when it comes to mitzvah, they know not all the details on the Akim, so they know the mitzvah shalom b'shlei Musa. So he says, Lehevi Yodua, if you have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah b'shlei Musa, and you do it shalom b'shlei Musa, that's a violation of Bal Tigra. So that's the, perhaps the pashtus over here. It's not that Islas Lashem Eferet Teresech means we allow you to do an Avera in order to gain and Ruchnias. That's a concept of Chatei B'Shul Shetiske. We say that sometimes. That's quoted also in Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber has a case in Hilchas Shabbos. If they notified in the Middle Ages, this was a common thing. The Nochrim, the Christians, were so bent on getting all the Jews to convert to Christianity, so they would kidnap little children and shma them up. So if they notified the father that his young daughter was kidnapped by the Christians and they're going to Shmat HaRav, and the father has the ability, if he puts together a lot of money and he can go, he'll have to do some halachas, some shabbos, he'll be able to go bribe the nachim, they should release the daughter. So it says it's a mitzvah for the father to be mechal shabbos. It's not because nefesh, the girl's life is not in danger. So some say it's that's Bikuach HaGuf, and this is Bikuach HaNefesh. That's not the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say that this is Midin Bikuach Nefesh. Bikuach Nefesh means when the life is in danger. When the Ruch is in danger, that's a different idea. That's Chatei B'Shul Shetiske. So they quote the name of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. They have a Sefer Hazola Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon, that's called Maaser Rav. So they have all the Hanhogas of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. It's called Keser Rosh, because it was written by one of the Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, whose name was Rav Asher. He wrote to say the Birchas Rosh HaNazir and Birchas Rosh HaBrachas. He gave shiurim in Volozhin, I think during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Volozhin. And in the back of the regular Gemara's Nazir, they have the Birchas Rosh HaGos. That was HaGos on the Mesicht in the back. His shiurim, that's a separate sefer, Birchas Rosh HaNazir. So this Rav Asher wrote over all the Hanhogas that he was aware of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So he quotes Rav Chaim Volozhin and said that this part is in Nefesh HaChaim. He says that Yaakov Avinu married Shtei Achoyas. How come? So that was Chatei B'Shul Shetiske. He knew, he saw Baruch HaKadosh, that he would be mamed B'Yudei Shvatim by marrying the two sisters. The Chaim Volozhin writes, attacking the Hasidim. The one section in Nefesh HaChaim where it's a whole attack against the Hasidim. So the Hasidim will make Hachonis and Hachonis to Davin, and then by the time they get to Davin, it'll be after Zman Kriyashma, it'll be after Zman Mincha, after Zman Shachris, whatever. Or they'll start the Seder after midnight, and Lachatchil is supposed to finish the Seder by Chatzais. That's supposed to begin after Chatzais. So the Hasidim sometimes had to practice. They would make so much Hachonis, it was an Inyan of Chatei B'Shul Shetiske. They felt that if they make more Hachonis, so they'll gain more in Ruchnias. Rav Chaim Volozhin attacks this, so he says, no, Chatei B'Shul Shetiske was only Kodem Matan Tor, doesn't apply after Matan Tor. So in the Sefer Keser Reish, the Hanhagas of Rav Chaim Volozhin, he writes what the Rebbe said, that Chatei B'Shul Shetiske only applied Kodem Matan Tor, that was a guzna. What he meant to say was that it after Matan Tor, it applies very rarely. Kodem Matan Tor, it applied more often, because they weren't mechuyev, everything was Eina Metzuvah V'Yesed, they were just volunteering. That was voluntary. They weren't mechuyev to. But after Matan Torah that you're mechuyev to, so then we apply Chatei B'Shul Shetiske in very rare instances. So this is one of them. The Mechaber quotes this from the Rishonim, that if they omer lo, they've told the father that the daughter was kidnapped by the Christians and they want to convert her to Christianity, and if it'll be Mechal Shabbos, he'll be able to save her. So then, if they don't say it's b'toris b'kochna, that's an example, chatei b'shul she'iska chavercha, which we usually don't say. But over here, it's a young child, and the father has control over his child. So chatei b'shul she'iska chavercha, we don't say. How do I know what's going to be? Maybe the other person won't be observant at the end. But if it's my child, I'll see to it that they won't be out to the tarbis ro. So then, even say chatei b'shul she'iska chavercha. So that's... That's the pshat in this Rashi. Rashi writes in the end of the in the first Mishnah and the last Perek in Brachos, it's Las Hashem Eferet Osecha. It's permissible to do Dabah Hanira Iser. Why is it only Dabah Hanira Iser? When you write down the Torah Shabbal Pen, you give a Shia reading from the text. The answer is it was never intended as an Avera. Means the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Lacherim is a Natchalo Bishlei Musa. Mitzvah b'shleimus is that the Torah should be chsav when it's given over to others, should be mitoch haksav. The Balkori who's learning to be mitzi others should read mitoch haksav. But there's nothing wrong if I know how to say kriyash ma balpeh, I say oz yoshe balpeh, I say a lot of things balpeh. There never was an isur in the front. That was never a problem. It's only a din in mesiris ha-Torah la-acherim. So that's the Talmidei HaGros say the name of the Bumi Goyen. Based on a Gemara and Tainus, they have like that. That if someone gets maftir and is going to read the Haftarah from the Chumash, he's going to read the Haftarah from a Tanakh, so that's al pidin, that's balpeh. So if he's going to be laning the Haftarah to be motzi, everybody in the shul, no one's going to say, everyone's going to be relying on him. So it comes out that it's a violation of this din. It's not a violation of an avera, but he's not being mekayem the mitzvah b'shleim musa. If everybody will lain on their own the haftarah, so then he's not being mitzi them. Then each one is laying the haftarah on his own. But if the people are relying on his reading of the haftarah, so then he has to lain from a klaf. So that's what the Talmidei HaGros say, based on what they understood from the groin. If the one who gets maftar is laying from a klaf, or if there's a balkur, he gets maftar, and then the balkur is going to lay from the klaf, so then the people in the shul don't have to say along. But if the one who gets mafter is not going to lain from the klaf, he's going to lain from a printed chumash or from a tanach, so then it's yirat b'kayim, the proper din of the Torah Shebichsav has to be given over mitoch haksav. So then they recommend that at least 9 people should say along with the Balkari. So you have 10 people being yotzei the mafter. Because if the Balkari is going to, one who gets mafter is going to learn from a printed chumash, a printed Tanakh. So that's Balpet, that's not mitoch haksav. Magen Avraham on Hilchas, Magen Avraham didn't have a Taz on Orach Chaim, he never quotes a Taz, but he had a Taz on Yerideh. So the Magen Avraham in this siman quotes the Taz in Yerideh, Hilchas Sefer Torah in the third Chelek Yerideh, that there's one opinion in Tosfos and Masechet Shabbos that by Nevi'im Aksuvim you don't require all the same requirements that you need by a Sefer Torah. So the Taz raises a possibility that if you have a printed Tanakh, a Sefer Shalem, let's say the Haftarah is from Treyasa. So have a printed Tanakh has a whole Treyasa Sefer Shalom. So according to one opinion of Tosfos, even though it's not parchment, and even though it's not Ksav Ashuris, and it was printed by a Nachri, you don't need all these requirements. That's considered Kriya Mitoch HaKsav. So the Magen Avraham quotes that the one who has a Maftir, rather than lain from a printed chumash that only has the haftarah in it, take a sefer, that has the whole treyaser in it. So according to that opinion, it says that's kriya mitoch haksav. So Rav Soloveitchik had a taina against this. It's the same taina that the Chazon Ish has in his sefer on Orach Chaim. He had a taina b'med var mamurim, the taz doesn't apply to the Tanakh that we have. It's printed on both sides of the page, and it's sewn together in the back. If everything would be printed on one side of the page, and you'd be able to read one column, next, so you keep on going, everything on one side of the page, even though it's paper, and even though it's not Ksav Ashuris, and even though it's printed by a Nochri, and so on, so there's room to apply that one opinion and taste, that's called Kriya Mitoch HaKsav. But if the Tanakh is a printed Tanakh the way we have, and has on both sides of the page, and it's sewn together in the back, it's not all on one side of the page. So that's L'chol HaDeis, that's not. The Taz's Chiddush is very difficult. The Taz is talking about printed Tanakh. The Pashto says that it was very difficult. So that's what they quote from the Talmidei HaGro, that if the Haftarah is being read from a Klav, so the people in Shul should not say along. They should, the one who's laying either the Balmaftir or the Balkore, in the yeshiva, the Balkori lays the Haftarah from the Klav. So he's mitzi everybody by paying attention. But if the one who is reading the Haftarah is reading from a printed Chumash, and that's Balpeh, that's even though he's reading, but that Alpidin has its status of Kriya Balpeh, that's not called Kriya Mitoch HaKsav. So then if he'll be mitzi the Tzibra, then the Lord be in violation of this din. Not a violation of an Aveira, but the mitzvah is not being fulfilled, Bishlei Musa. He's giving over the Torah Shebichsav to the others. Balpeh, you should have given it over Mitoch HaKsav. The better would be that he should say, and at least 9 people, everybody in the shul, should say along with him. Yeah, that's really what we mean when we talk about the Torah Misinai. Well, Shekibel Torah Misinai, what's the significance of mentioning that the Torah was received at Sinai? So we usually assume that it was Maimon HaSinai that was Mechayavos, the Krisis Bris. Maimon HaSinai was Mechayavos to observe the mitzvah. So that's not really accurate, because at the end of the Teuchach appears twice in the Chumash, in Parshas Bechukosai and in Parshas Kisava. So in Parshas Bechukosai it says at the end, that the Pasuk, right after the whole Teuchach is over, Ele Divri Abiso Shekoros Hashem and Esau Behar Sinai. This was the Krisis Bris, the Brachas of Klolos. The promise for Schar V'Yonesh was at Har Sinai. So that was only Mechayev, the people who were present at on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai. What's Mechayev us today? We weren't there at Har Sinai. So the Gemara says all the Neshamas were there. The Gemara said the Neshamas were there. The Pasuk says, what was the purpose of everybody being present in Maimon Har Sinai? Amantiya Yerosi Al Panechem Ulvilti Sechato. That Maimon HaSinai should have an effect on our neshamas. We should develop Yirat Shamayim. So the Gemara says, all the neshamas of all the Doros HaBoyim were present, and the Maimon HaSinai had that effect on everybody's neshama. But you can't make a Krisis Bris with a neshama. A Krisis Bris is a shvuah, has to be made by a living person. So on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, only that generation that was present became obligated to observe the mitzvahs. In the second Teichach and Parshas Kisavoi, so the pasuk continues to say in the beginning of Nitzavim, Lo etchem l'atchem anochi kareis es habris hazos v'sa'ola hazos. This new Krisis Bris in Arvus Mayav is not only with the generation who is present here, like the Bris of Har Sinai. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara Shavuos, Doris Haboim. We today are the Doris Haboim. The fact that we today are obligated to observe the Targum Mitzvah Satara is not because of the Bris of Har Sinai. That Bris was only made with the people who were present at the time. But the Mechayiv, the obligation to observe all the mitzvahs today, is based on the Bris at Arvus Mayav. Well, how come the first Bris was only binding on the Yechidim and the second Bris was binding on the Tzibur? So the Pashtus is that there was no Tzibur Hayis, there was no Klal Yisrael as a Tzibur until after Maimon Har Sinai. Till after they entered Eretz Yisrael. The first Bris at Har Sinai, it was the beginning of a tziruf of a klal yisrael. But the full concept of klal yisrael is only when they crossed over the Yarden, when they made the brachas, the klos of hagrizim and harevo. That's when the din of klal yisrael harevim zebezes set in, because arvus means that there's a tzibur, there's a klal yisrael. The practice used to be in the early 1900s, that the bachim from the yeshivas used to send kashas and learning to the ragat shav, and he would send on the response. He would send the response on the postcard. They had double postcards. Postage was prepaid, and he would answer all the kashas. So on different occasions, they tried to get him involved in politics. So on one occasion, they asked him, "What does he say about the aguda?" So he didn't want to comment, so he wrote a shtickel Torah about lulav tzorach hegel, lulav ein tzorach hegel. He knew what they were asking. They were asking about the aguda, the organization. So he made believe that they're talking about lulav tzorach hegel. Then they asked him, what does he say about the shalosh shavuos? He knew what they meant with the shalosh shavuos also. That was the hang-up of the Minkatsha. Minkatsha held he was the main antagonist to the whole Zionist movement. Was the Munkatsha Rebbe and all the other Rabbonim in Hungary were afraid to disagree with him, because he would curse you from the Bima. He would curse anyone who was the biggest Avera from all the Taryag Mitzvah. The biggest Avera was Zionism in his idea. So because of the Shalosh Shavuos, the Gemara in the end of Tzilus, the Shalosh Shavuos, the Esther Ragat Shavu, what does it say? But the Shalosh Shavuos, they sent back a Shtil Torah, a beautiful Shtil Torah. We must have said it on different occasions, that why is it that when Yosef was about to die, it says, Hashbeah Hishbeah has been a Yisrael. Why is Hashbeah Hishbeah? Because he knew that his brothers are not going to live so long. Yitzias Ben Tzion is going to be in the distant future. None of his brothers are going to live so. He died before the other brothers. So he couldn't have them swear that they'll bring his body back there. It's Yisrael. They're not going to be alive at the time of the Gula in Mitzrayim. So you had them swear, Hishbiyam, Shehashbiyah as B'nayim, Shehashbiyah as B'nayim. That's why it says, Hashbeah Hishbiyah, double, Hishbiyam, Shehashbiyah as B'nayim. But what about the Shalosh Shavuos? So the Ragat Shavuos writes in his letter, I never took the Shavuot. I never heard my parents, my grandparents, he never heard that anybody in recent years took the Shavuot. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim, at some time in the past, the Shavuot was taken, and it's binding on all the Doros HaBoim. How come it's binding? We never took the Shavuot. So he said the answer is, in the days of Yosef, there was no Klal Yisrael, so there's only a Shavuot HaYochid. But by the time Shlomo HaMelech writes, that was after Maimon Har Sinai, that was after they entered Eretz Yisrael, so they already emerged a concept of Klal Yisrael. So once you have a nation, there's a Ummah HaYisraelis, and there's such a thing as a Shavuos HaYochid, and there's a Shavuos HaTzibur. So once the Tzibur takes a Shavuos, so it's binding even on the Doros HaBoim. Doros HaBoim are all part of that same Tzibur. So that's the Pashtus, that the Bris at Har Sinai was only binding on the Yechidim. The full tziruf of Klal Yisrael was only when they crossed over the Yarden. The beginning of the tziruf was Maimon Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael. But the Gemara of the Tziruf once, when they had a national homeland, when they crossed over the Yarden. So, and the second bris at Arvis Mayav, the Rabbanu Shalom wanted the second bris to be binding on the Tzibur. So he wanted the Tzibur when they cross over the Yarden. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to cross over the Yarden. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon Hanavim, should be supervising, should be overseeing this Krisa's bris. So that's why the Rabbanu Shalom said, let Moshe Rabbeinu start the bris in Arvis Mayav, and Yeshua ben Nun, his Talmud, will complete the bris. And Hagriz Ma'arev, well, that's one big bris. Begun with Moshe Rabbeinu, began with Moshe Rabbeinu and Arvis Mayav, and it was completed by Yeshua ben Nun and Hagriz Ma'arev. So that bris was a bris with the Tzibur. They crossed over the Yarden. You have a national homeland, is Eretz Yisrael. So then there's such a concept as Shavuos HaTzibur. So when we say that Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi-Sinai, we don't mean that the binding force of the Torah was Maimon HaSinai. It's not really true. That was the binding force in the Dor HaMidbar was Maimon HaSinai. But the binding force for the Dor HaSabayim today, that's Aisha Sheyesh Tempa Aisha Sheyenenit Paimana Maimon HaYai, is the Krisa's Bris at Arvis Mayav. So why do we speak so much about Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi-Sinai? The Maimon HaSinai was not so important as far as the binding force of the Torah. So others say, no, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi-Sinai means the text of the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter at Har Sinai. That's also not exactly 100% accurate. The Chazon Ish has a whole essay on this in his Sefer on Or HaChaim. It goes in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So where you would put Hilchos Yom Tov Shavuos after Pesach, before Tisha B'Av, before Rosh Hashanah. So by the section in the Chazon Ish on Or HaChaim, where we would put the Dinim of Shavuos, he has this essay that the Chumash tells us that it is a composite of three different texts. That because we say the Chumash is a composite of different texts, we believe in that also, it says in the Chumash. But all the three texts were written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All three were dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. The first text, it says, V'davar shel Moshe b'har Sinai leima. Second text says, V'davar shel Moshe me'ol moed leima. The Abayim Shana b'amidbar. And the third text was, V'davar shel Moshe b'arvis mayav leima. So, and the whole Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu three different times. And then at the end of the Abayim Shana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, now we're going to put together a Sefer Torah. So regarding this mitzvah, use text A, the text that was at Hasina. Regarding these mitzvahs, use text B, the text that I dictated to you word for word, letter for letter, in Oil Moed. And then regarding certain mitzvahs, you should include in the Sefer Torah text C, the text that I dictated to you in Arvis Mayav before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. What was the idea of the three different texts? So that's a big machlekes satanayim in the first perek in Chagiga. And the Gemara says it's involved in the machlekes Bishan and Bishilul in the Mishnah, whether Chagiga more kesef in the Riyah, shtei kesef, shtei more kesef, or the reverse. Maybe the Chagiga is more kesef in the Riyah, the shtei more kesef. So the Gemara says they think that this machlekes Bisilam Bishamai, which the whole more kesef shtei matzonim be the rabbanim. So what does it depend on? So the Gemara says it's a shaila. Ultimately, it boils down to the shaila. What was the idea behind having the Torah dictated on three different occasions? Text A, text B, text C. What was it all about? So the Gemara gives a whole list of tanaim, a whole one way, and a whole list of tanaim, all the other way. A whole list of tanaim are of the opinion. Text A didn't have all of the details in it. Text A sometimes was an incomplete text. It didn't have all the dinim. Baruch Shalom said he's going to, in chinuch yidu akal akal, miyagom and akal al akobit. So first you try to teach a little bit. Then the second time around you teach more. So sometimes there were some mitzvahs that weren't given bishlei musim the first time. And the second time text B had the mitzvah bishlei musim. Then there's no need for text C. And sometimes even both the first and the second time the mitzvahs were still not given bishlei musan until Arvis Mayav, when the Rebbe Shlom gave finally text C. And then at the end of the Arboim Shona, when the Rebbe Shlom wants Moshe Rabbeinu to put together a whole Sefer Torah, so he tells him, on this mitzvah you can use text A because it has already everything in it. And this mitzvah text A was incomplete, doesn't have all the details, use text B, as complete. And then on certain mitzvahs, you have to use text C because texts A and B were both incomplete and only text C is complete. So that's the opinion that is not has not been accepted. The opinion that's accepted was the opinion that Rashi quotes on Chumash at the beginning of Parshas Bahar. Rashi quotes from Rabbi Akiva, from the Tanoim. Mayin Shmita Eitzel HaSinai, Elalai Malach, that even the first version of the Torah text, A, B, and C, all the three versions had Kola Torah Kula Kola Vasev Pratasev Dikdukev. All the three versions, they were different from each other, the three different versions, the three different texts. But you shouldn't think that the reason why there was a need for a second and a third text, because the first and the second were incomplete. No, from the very outset, the first text had all the diukim and all the dinim would have been included. So then the question begs itself, so why was there a need for a second text? And then sometimes there was even a need for a third text. What was there a need? So the Gemara never explains it. According to the other Tanya, if you're all like Rabbi Shmuel, not like Rabbi Akiva, that Kol HaTorah Kula was not given Kol HaLasev Pratasev Dikdukya. Not everything was given originally in Harsina. Only Rosh HaPrakim, some of the mitzvahs only had Rosh HaPrakim. So then you understand why there was a need for text B and why there was sometimes even a second text. Second time around was also incomplete. So you needed the text C. But if you accept the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that Kol HaTorah Kula was given Kol HaLasev Pratasev Dikdukya, everything was given from the very outset. So why was there a need for a second text? Why was there a need for a third text? The Gemara leaves you hanging. The Gemara doesn't say. So getting back again, why do we speak about Torah Misinai? So it doesn't mean that the entire Torah as we have it today, HaTorah HaMasuya Atav Yadenu, He HaNasuna LeMoshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. No, Har Sinai, He was given the first text. And the final version of the Sefer Torah, we don't always use the first text. Sometimes we use text B and sometimes we use text C. So it's not that the whole Torah is Torah Misinai. So what are we talking about when we emphasize that we, the Orthodox, subscribe to the principle of Torah Misinai? It doesn't mean that the Maimon HaSinai was Mechayev us. It wasn't Mechayev us. It's only Mechayev that generation of people who were present. It's the Brisad Arvis Mayav that's Mechayev Ibn Esa Sherenene Poimana An Mayayam, the Doris HaPoy. And it doesn't mean that the text of the Sefer Torah that we have is dictated to Moshe Ben HaSinai. That parts of the Torah were. And parts of the Torah we use text B and text C. So the answer is, Torah Misinai means, Maimon HaSinai was the dugma of how we should transmit the Torah throughout all the generations. Just like the Torah HaSinai was given, Be'emu B'yira B'resus of Ziyah, so too, when the Rebbe gives a shiur and the Talmidim are listening, so it's not right they should sit and munch on popcorn, Cracker Jacks, like when you go to the movies or something like that. The Talmidim have to sit and be mekabel the limud haTorah, the aim of the yira, the reses uve zia. Zia doesn't mean perspiration. That's zaya, zayin yud ayin hay. Zia means trembling. The shekli is da zaya. So the Torah should be transmitted the aim of the yira, the reses uve zia. And also part of the din of, we learned from Maimon HaSinai, that the Ram Shebichsav should be transmitted from the Rebbe to the Talmud, Mitoch HaKsav. The Balkori should lain, Mitoch HaKsav. And the Ram Shebalpeh, according to the way the Vilna Goin thought that's the Iker, you're permitted to keep notes on the Torah Shebalpeh. The Rambam writes that he always had Megillus Biksav. But when you give the Shir, when the Rebbe transmits it to the next generation, to the Talmidim, he should transmit it in a lecture form. Balpeh, you shouldn't transmit it by reading a text. We sit and we read a text of the Gemara, text of the Shulchan Aruch, and so on. So that's a Sas Hashem Eferi Teresecha, that we're not able to, we're afraid. We're not going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mesiras Al Torah Bishlei Musa, because we're afraid a lot will be lost. Yeah. So that's what we mean when we say, when we emphasize Torah Misinai, the Limud HaTorah from the Rebbe to the Talmud should be the way it was at Har Sinai. The Talmud Torah at Har Sinai was a dugma of how the Torah should be transmitted from the Rebbe to the Talmud in all the future generations.
Weren't there things Moshe didn't know? He had to ask Hashem, like Slavchad and Pesach Sheni. So how could Rabbi Akiva say he got that right up front?
No, he says, whatever mitzvahs are given at HaSinai, the first text had everything that appeared in the second text and the third text. The Ramban writes in the Hagdamah that it's clear from the Chumash that not all the dinim were told to Moshe Rabbeinu at HaSinai. That's Mefurish in the Chumash. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Whatever it was, there were some things that he didn't know. Pesach Sheni he didn't know, and something about Yerusha he didn't know. That is correct, yes. Yeah, here in the Siman Reish Pei Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, there happens to be, there is in Perek Bamem Adlikin, the Gemara has a Machlekes Amarayim. If you have, let's say Rosh Chodesh falls out in the middle of the week, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, something. So usually there's only Kriyas HaTorah, Sheni B'Chamishi, you give three Aliyahs. Rosh Chodesh falls out on a Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day of the week, so you give four Aliyahs. And you don't lay an after. What do you do when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos? So the Gemara has, so you say Haftarah because it's Shabbos, not because it's Rosh Chodesh. If Rosh Chodesh would be in the middle of the week, you wouldn't say any Haftarah. So we have a Haftarah because it's Shabbos. So there's a Machloikis in the Gemara, Machloikis Amarayim. When you say the bracha, the last bracha after Magen David, you say, Allah Torah, Allah Abed, Allah Anvim, Al Yom HaShabbos Hazeh. You also mentioned Al Yom HaShachodesh Hazeh, or do you leave out Rosh Chodesh? So that's a machloikis in the Gemara. One opinion is, he said, "B'kadesh haShabbos v'Yisrael v'Roshei Chodeshim." You add on Rosh Chodesh in the Chasima. Even though if it would have only been Rosh Chodesh, it wouldn't have been Shabbos. There wouldn't have been any Haftar. So because Rosh Chodesh is not Mechayv and Haftar, only Shabbos is Mechayv and Haftar. But Lemaisa, since it's both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, you are saying Haftar, so you should mention Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara in the end of the sugya says what the psak halacha is on this machloikis. So it's a machloikis. Rashi and Tosfos, what is the maskana? So Rashi holds the maskana that you do mention Rosh Chodesh. So the Shulchan Aruch says we don't paskan like Rashi. That's in Reish Pei Dalet. It says in Siv Beis, "Mchal Rosh Chodesh b'Shabbos enam after maskev shal Rosh Chodesh." He does not mention Rosh Chodesh, and we assume not only does he not mention Rosh Chodesh in the Chasima, Kadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Roshei Chodashim, he doesn't even mention Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the bracha, not in the middle of, and not in the Chasima. That's the common practice. So that's the Tosfos Shita. The same Gemara has a discussion regarding Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, you give four aliyahs, same as Rosh Chodesh, and there is no Haftarah. Shabbos Chol HaMoed, there is a Haftarah, but the Haftarah is because it's Shabbos. You give seven aliyahs. Haftarah is because it's Shabbos. It's not because it's Chol HaMoed. But you are mentioning Mekadesh HaShabbos, and maybe you should end up Mekadesh HaShabbos for Israel. But Hazmanim, maybe you should mention the fact that it's Pesach or Sukkot. So the Gemara has the same machlekes about that. And the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos had a paskan and maskana, whether you mention Chol HaMoed or not. So the way we paskan here, that you don't mention Rosh Chodesh in the Chasima, we follow the opinion. You don't have to mention Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the bracha, in the Chasima, for sure not. Even in the middle of bracha, not. So it should really be the same, both Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot. The difficulty is, the problem is that the Ramah, in Hilchos Pesach, quotes the Haglos Menhagim. There's a Sefer Menhagim by Rabbi Isaac Tirna. So there are more quotes from the Haggadah Ben Hagim, that's on the bottom of the page, to distinguish between Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach and Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot. That what the Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot, we do mention Kadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, you don't mention. It's very difficult. The Vilna Gaon thinks that it's a mistake, because the Gemara never mentioned the word that there should be a difference between Chol HaMoed Pesach and Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Within the Gemara, it's the same. So where did they get this einfall that there should be a difference? So this is based on the Gemara. The Gemara raises the question, how come on Sukkot, every day of Sukkot, we recite Halal Shalom, and on Pesach, we say Halal Shalom the first 2 days, and the rest of Pesach, you only say Chatzi Halal, which the Rambam thinks is only a minhag. The Magid Mishnah quotes the Ramban, maybe Chatzi Halal on the last days of Pesach is a din de Rabbanan. The Gemara says Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. That's the Gemara, the end of Tainus. But the Gemara never says that Chatzi Halal on Chol HaMoed Pesach on the last days of Pesach is only a minhag. The Rambam writes like that. The Rambam writes, whenever it's a minhag, you only say Chatzi Halal. Whenever it's Medina, then you say Halal Shalom. So the Gemara raises the question, why is there a difference between Sukkis and Pesach, that Sukkis you recite Halo Shalom every day, and Pesach you only say Halo Shalom on the first 2 days. So the Gemara said, because Sukkis is Chalukim Mekabanesim, however you understand that. So that's why each day of Sukkis is a separate Yontev, and you have to say Halo. And Pesach, it's not Chalukim Mekabanesim. So the Agos Menhogim on the bottom of the page, and the Menhogim are Rabbi Isaac Tirna, so they have the Agos Menhogim. So they apply that Svara, Chalukim Mekabanesim, to explain over here why on Shabbos Chalamayt Sukkis, you do mention Sukkis, and on Shabbos Chalamayt Pesach, you know. So the Vilna Gaon said, it has nothing to do with anything. Just because Chalukim Mekabanesim is not a reason that that you should mention Chalamayt Sukkis in the Birchas Haftarah. Sukkis is not, Chalamayt is not Mechayiv in Haftarah, only Shabbos is Mechayiv. That's why we only mention Shabbos, we don't mention Chalamayt. Yeah, that's problematic. I think I once told over this story that I was once out of town for Sukkis, and the Rosh Yeshiva told the Gabbai that whoever you give maftah to, tell him he shouldn't say Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim, he should just say Mekadesh HaShabbos, because the Iker is like the Shitas Agro, that it's Shabbos Chalamayt Pesach, Shabbos Chalamayt Sukkis, the same. Same as Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and you don't mention Rosh Chodesh, and you don't mention Chalamayt Pesach or Chalamayt Sukkis. So in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, there were 7 aliyahs in the Shabbos Chalamayt Sukkis. Middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, after Shlishi or Revi, so the Gabbai walks over to the Rosh Yeshiva, and he tells them, everyone's afraid to take Maftir. They're afraid to not to say what it says in the Siddur. So the Rosh Yeshiva says, give me Maftir. I'm not afraid of the printer. Just because the printer printed in the machzer that you have to say Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim, I'm not afraid. I'll say the way you're supposed to. So you got mafta? Yeah. Here the Shulchan Aruch recommends that when the maftir says the brachas on Haftarah, he should say the brachas out loud. The Mechaber writes in Siv Gimel, Reish Pei Dal Siv Gimel, Tzorach l'chadein l'birchas ha-korin v'torah l'birchas ha-mafte v'yad ha-chareim amen v'yad lo l'hashlem ninyan mea brachas chise ninyonam v'shabbos. On a regular weekday, you say Shemoneh Esrei has 19 brachas, so you daven Shachris and Mincha and Meirav 3 times 19, so you almost have more than half of the Meir Brachas already. So the question is, the Meir Brachas that you have to say B'chol Yoyim, does that only count Brachas that I am Yotze? Let's say I hear someone else say, there was a practice by Hasidim, they have the practice, the Maharaj Dam has this in the Tshuvas, that someone gets up to the Shulchan and he says all the 15 brichas hashachar out loud, and everybody says amen. Then the next person gets up, and he says all the 15 brichas hashachar out loud, and everybody says amen. Then the next person gets up. So after a couple of people get up, everybody was ready, yotze mea brachas, before they even start the psukah de zimra. Because kala and amen kila hoitzi bracha mipivdami. So it counts as one of the mea brachas. That's what the mechaber writes over here. If you're mechaber, and if you pay attention to the brachas, On Shabbos, the Shemana Esri, the Amidah, does not have 19 brachas. We call it Shemana Esri, but it doesn't have 18 brachas. It's really the Amidah. So the Amidah only has 7 brachas. So you need a lot more brachas. So that's why the Mechaber recommends you should pay attention to the Oila La Torah, and you should say Amen. If you don't say, the din is Shamei Ake'oine. Let's say someone said a bracha on something. So let's say the Balkori says that bracha on Kriyas HaMegillah, and I didn't say Amen. So the Gemara says Shameya Ke'oina. Even though I didn't answer Amen, it's considered as if I did answer Shameya Ke'oina. And call an Amen. He lehoitzi bracha mipivdom. So whenever you say Amen, it's considered as if you said the bracha. So that can count. If you say Amen, that'll count as if you said the bracha yourself, and you yotze one of the. That counts for you a Meir Bracha. So the Mishnah Brura writes in Chelek Aleph, when he talks about this earlier, he quotes the Paskim that it only counts for Meir Brachas if you're being Yotze with that Bracha. If I already said the 15 Birchas HaShachar, I said before I went to shul, I said it at home. Then I come to shul and the chazan says the 15 Birchas HaShachar. I say amen. So the Mishnah Berurah says he's not being moitzi me with the brachas, that doesn't count for me'er brachas. It's only called me'er brachas if you're being yoitzi. The Marashdam, if I'm not mistaken, is the very first tshuva in Chelek Arachayim. So the Marashdam writes not so. He says that this was the practice that, the Hasidim picked it up from the Chuvas Marashdam, that one person after the other gets up and he says the 15 Birchas HaShachar, and everybody in the shul says Amen. So they have Me'er Brachas before they even start saying Baruch Shamar, because they answered Amen. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens against that. Yeah, but over here the Mechaber writes like that, the Pashtus and the Mechaber. Unless they say over here that the brachas of the Haftarah, the brachas of the Aliyah, the brachas of the Haftarah belongs to the whole Tzibur. So the Pashtus says it should be Chazar Sasha Sotza belongs to the whole Tzibur. There's a Tfilas HaYochid and there's a Tfilas HaTzibur. Just like there's a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur, so there's a Tfilas HaYochid and a Tfilas HaTzibur. So the Tfilas HaYochid is when the Chazan says the Shtilas Shmon Esrei, that's a Tfilas HaYochid. When the Chazan says the Chazar Sasha out loud, that's a Tfilas HaTzibur. So the whole Tzibur is being Yotzei. Not that they were Yotzei already with the Tfilah Belachash, and they don't need the Chazaras HaShatz. Everybody needs the Chazaras HaShatz. It's not only for the purpose of Chapping Arayin to say Kedusha. It's more than that. Everyone should participate in the Tfilah HaTzibur. Just like there are Korbanos Yochid and Korbanos Tzibur. So there's a Tfilah HaYochid and a Tfilah HaTzibur. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah holds not so. Mishnah Berurah holds when you answer Amen to the Chazaras HaShatz, that's Ishman Esri. You're not going to say anything with that. The Talmidim of the Gra say not so. They write that the Vilna Gaon's practice was that when the Chazan repeated the Chazaras HaShatz, the Tzibur should not say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy. The Mechaber writes when the Chazan says the Chazaras HaShatz, everybody in the Shul should not only answer Amen at the end of the Bracha, they should say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that his practice was he wouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. Why not? So the Talmidei HaGra are guessing. They didn't hear the reason. They just write the practice of the Gra was that he wouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Shmoy. So they suggest the reason why, because the Chazaras HaShatz, everybody in the shul is Yotzei with the Chazaras HaShatz. It's not only that the Chazan is saying, he's saying the Shmon Esrei. No, he's saying a Tfilas HaTzibur for all the people in the shul. So since they want to be Yotzei with that, so they shouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that reason. So he gives his own reason. He thinks that when the Chazan repeats the Chazaras HaShatz, the Chazan is Yotzei with that, but the Tzibur is not being Yotzei, and therefore it doesn't count for the Me'er Brachas. He thinks against that Marashdam, that it only can, he quotes Achronim and say like that, that Brachas only count for the Me'er Brachas if you need the Brachan. Here, he says the brachas by the Kriya Satoira, the brachas belong to the whole Tzibur. So he says, no one should say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy, like if someone says Kiddush HaHavdolah, and everybody wants to be Yotzei, so the Dogel Mevava, then Rebbe Yehuda writes in the Oris on the side of the page, the Dogel Mevava, he writes that you shouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy. Like in the yeshivas, they always announce when the Baal Tekeh is going to say the bracha on Tekeh Shofar, the one who gets Parsha Zohar is going to say the bracha on the Aliyah. Parsha Zohar is going to make an announcement. Everyone should say Amen and be careful not to say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy, because you want to be Yotzei with the brachas. So if you want to be Yotzei with the brachas, so Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy will be a hefsek. So that's what he quotes from the Talmidei HaGra, right, in their Ha'oris on the Ma'aseh Rav, that they think that that's the reason why the Gra wouldn't answer Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, because it'll constitute a hefsek. Because you want to be Yotze with the Brach, like I want to be Yotze with the Kiddush and Abdullah, I want to be Yotze with the Tfilas HaTzibur. And the Mishnah Berurah thinks that it's not true. Here, by the Kriyas, Brachas on the Kriyas HaTorah and the Haftarah, he goes along with that idea. You want to be Yotze with the Brach. The Brach belongs to the Tzibur. But the Chazaras HaShatz, he thinks not. So why did the Vilna Gaon not say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shmoy? So he says, because the Chazan usually doesn't give you enough time to say Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo is basically 7 or 8 syllables. And if the Chazan's only going to pause Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, he's not going to give you enough time to say 7, 8 syllables. But the Mishnah Berurah says, what if the Chazan is trained And he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, and he pauses. And after a shtickle pause, then he says, Magen Avraham. Then he says, even the Vilna Gaon would agree that you should say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemai. The reason why he's opposed is because the Chazanim usually didn't give the Tzibur enough time to say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemai. And then they're going to be answering Amen Yisayma. They're going to answer Amen after the Chazan already started the next bracha. That's why the Gro was opposed. But Rav Soloveitchik thought that we are Yotze, just like the Mechaber writes here that the whole Tzibur is Yotze with the brachas of the Olim LaTorah. So the brachas of the Chazaras Hashatz, also everyone is being Yotze with those brachas. So that's, here it says in the Shulchan Aruch that the one who gets an aliyah should say the brachas out loud. A lot of people, when they get an aliyah, they whisper the brachas. So that's the Magen Avraham says it's a bracha levatol. You have to say the bracha out loud enough. At least 10 people have to hear the bracha, because it's a bracha on the aliyah. You need 10 people for the Kriya Satara. And the tzibur should answer amen. If they don't answer amen, it doesn't count as mea brachas. Then it counts as mea brachas. But if you don't answer amen, the din is shamea ko'ena yoytze. Let's say the Valkyrie says the bracha mikra megillah, and shachyanu shos anisim, he says all the bracha. I don't answer amen. So I'm yoytze, but I'm not, it doesn't count as mea brachas. Only counts mea brachas if you answer amen. That's considered kil hoitze brach mipi. But if you didn't answer amen, shemeh kani means a yoitze, but it doesn't count as the mea brachas. Yeah. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Tosfos. Tosfos says that in the Birchas HaTorah, let me get a sitter. A lot of people say Amen in the wrong place. The Tosfos corrects that practice. Here, when you say the first bracha, so some people say amen. So the Rishonim say they're not supposed to say amen. That you say amen at the end. That's one long bracha. They're not two brachas before. Then the bracha that you say after you finish learning after. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Tzurkol Olamim Tzadik Kol Ha'Ne'eman Omer V'Yesam Davar Mekayem Shekol Dvarav Emes V'Tzedek. So then you have in big letters a new paragraph, Ne'eman. So Tosfos quotes in Brachas, in Pesachim, Tosfos says many people thought you say Amen. Shekol Dvarav Emes V'Tzedek, you say Amen. And Ne'eman Atah Hashem Elokeinu is another Brachas. Tosfos says no, it's not another Bracha. You're not supposed to say Amen. This is all one long bracha. You only say amen when you get to the end. Okay, la ne'eman, the chol devarav. So how come it's in a new paragraph and it's in big letters, ne'eman? I mean, the printer made a mistake. It shouldn't be in a new paragraph. It shouldn't be in big letters. The Tosfos says, no. The reason why ne'eman is in big letters in a separate paragraph is because they quote in Masechah Sofrim, it says that when the one who gets the Haftorah, when the Bal Mafti, when he comes to this line, Shekol Dvarav Emes V'Tzedek, everyone should chime in and say, along with the Bal Mafti, Naman Hashem Lakeinu, Naman Derech, Derech, Medrech, Achor, Lo Yashuv Reikom. And then they stop, and then the Bal Mafti continues, Kikel Ne'eman Ato, V'Chadash HaKel Ne'eman, V'Chol Dvarav. Everybody should chime in and say that line. I remember when we learned that Tosfos, Rav Soloveitchik said, that's what we should do. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Masechah Sofrim. And that's why it's in big letters. Because everybody says along. Some people make a mistake also in Shachris. In Shachris. The first bracha after Baruch Hu. Where is it? So some people say Amen. They think that's the end of the bracha. That is not the end of the bracha. The Rishonim say the bracha ends a few pages later when you say Yotzer Hamiyaros. That's one long bracha, Yotzer Baruch Hashem, and it ends a few pages later, Yotzer Hamiyaros. And you should not say Amen in the middle of a bracha. When you bench Rosh Chodesh, let's see, what do we say when we bench Rosh Chodesh? We say, everybody screams Amen. Because there is no bracha over there. So you can answer Amen after each phrase. But if you're in the middle of a bracha, that's what Tosfos says. You're not supposed to answer Amen after each phrase. Let's say when a person is in the middle of Shemana Esrei, the Chazan is in the middle of Shemana Esrei and he's saying everything out loud and he says, Yalla v'yavoy. When the Chazan says, let me see, Shachris. When the Chazan says, Yalla v'yavoy, so he said, Lefleito le'toivo. How do you say? So, Chen Hashem al-Kain abal le'toivo, everybody screams Amen. Fakten abay le'baruch Amen. So, Hashem abal le'chayim. Everybody screams out Amen. So, Rav Soloveitchik thought that more correct is, like those Achronim say, you're not supposed to say Amen. Because Yalla v'yavoy is the middle of a bracha. And you're going to end off the bracha, Amachzer Shechina Osa le'tzion. You're going to end off with the bracha, you're going to say Amen at the end of the bracha. So since you're in the middle of a bracha, that's what Tosfos says, Vayotzeror, Vayochoshech, and the bracha of Haftorah. You're not supposed to say Amen in the middle of a bracha. By Rosh Chodesh Bench, you're not saying any bracha. So there you can say Amen on each phrase. Why not? But not in the Yalla v'yavoy, because he thought that's an Achrayim right like that. If you Achrayim right like that, it's not proper to say Amen in the middle of a bracha.
Right.
In Hasidish and a lot of Hasidish shuls, they have the practice that the one who says the one who gets the maftir says the bracha out loud. And then when it comes to reading the haftarah, everybody screams out loud, so nobody hears the one saying the haftarah at all. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the name of the Vilna Gaon that he thinks that then it's a bracha levatola. In all the Hasidish shtiblach, that's what they do all over. Everybody screams out after, and no one's listening at all to the Baal Torah. The Talmid HaGra thought that if the one who gets mafter is not leaning from a klaf, then it's Dvarim Shebichsav, Yatarash Aliyam, and Apeh Lehotzi Acher Medechai Vosan. Everybody should say along softly, Balachash, but not that they're going to scream out loud. They should hear him say the Haftarah from the printed Chumash. They should say along softly. So it shouldn't be in violation of the din. So they should say on their own. The Gro got that from the Gemara. That's one opinion in Tosfos. There's a difference between whether you're saying on your own. And he interpreted the whole Gemara in Tainus like that. Yeah. Here the Mishnah Berurah writes that there is a practice that developed in certain shuls, that after they say Ashrei Yoshvei V'Sech on Shabbos morning, they say a Misha Berach. In some shuls they say the Misha Berach for Bahab after Ashrei, or they say Misha Berach for Cholim, and then say Tefillah L'Shlom Hamdina. So the Mishnah Berurah says that that's not proper. That there's a big question. What's the status of the Khatzi Kaddish that you say right before you start davening Musaf? What is it all about? So there's a major machloikis in Achrayim. So here the Mishnah Berurah writes that there's a contradiction in Mishnah Berurah. Here he writes that the Khatzi Kaddish right before Musaf is not the introduction to Musaf. The Khatzi Kaddish relates back to the Ashrei. And if you're going to say Ashrei, then you're going to say Mishaberach for Cholim and Mishaberach for Tzahal. Tefillah L'Shlom Hamdina or something, so then the Chatzi Kaddish doesn't relate back. You are Mapsik. That's not right. Hallelujah. And David Mizmah, Mizmah LeDavid, that's not a Hepsik, that's all Shevach. But if you're going to say Tefillah V'Cholim or something, so then that constitutes a hefsek. In Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, the Mishnah Berurah was written, different parts of the Mishnah were written by different people. So there he adopts the other position that really the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf is the introduction to Musaf. Just like Shachris begins, Tfilas HaTzibur of Shachris begins with the Chatzi Kaddish before Barchu. Until Barchu, the chazan is not really the shliach tzibur. He doesn't say anything. He just keeps the pace. But Baruch Shama, sometimes you have a few avelim. So they divide up amongst themselves. So one oval says, takes care of the davening until Baruch Hu. So he didn't take care of anything. He didn't serve as the shliach tzibur at all. He got cheated. He didn't say any kaddish, and he wasn't the shliach tzibur at all. The function of the role of the Shliach Tzibur only begins from the Kaddish before Baruch Hu. So just like Shachris, the Tefillah B'Tzibur of Shachris begins from the Chatzi Kaddish before Baruch Hu, then you say B'chaz Kriyashma, Shmona Esrei, so to Musaf begins with the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf. So that's the big question. Our practice is we wear Tefillah in Amrish Chodesh, and we don't wear the Tefillah when we daven Musaf. So the kpeda is the Beis Yosef says the kpeda is if you daven nusach svar, then you're going to say keser. So somehow pikabola they feel that wearing tefillin and saying keser yitn lucha malacha mamani mala is a contradiction. So if you're going to daven nusach svar and say keser, you should make sure that you shouldn't have the tefillin on when you daven musaf. So we're going to take off the tefillin before we're going to daven musaf. So when do you take off the tefillin? So some have a kpeda, most shuls have the kpeda. You don't take off the tefillin until after the chazan finished the chatzi kaddish. Because you want to gain another kaddish with wearing the tefillin on. You want to answer another kaddish with the tefillin on. And the Mishnah Berurah there says that more correct is that you should dafka take off the tefillin and wrap them up, roll them up before the chatzi kaddish because of this machlokes. Is the chatzi kaddish right before Musaf, is that the introduction to Musaf? Like the Chatzi Kaddish before Baruch Hu and Shachris is the introduction to Shachris. The Tfilas HaTzibur begins with the Chatzi Kaddish, and here the Tfilas HaTzibur of Musaf begins with the Chatzi Kaddish. Or should I say, like the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, no, the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf is not the Haskola Musaf, it's the Gemar of the, it relates back to the Ashrei that you said before. That's the problem in a lot of shuls. The rabbi gets up after the Sevenuch Yama. The rabbi gets up and he holds a sermon. So what, the Chatzi Kaddish goes back to the Ashrei that they said 20 minutes ago before the rabbi started the sermon. So the Maram Shik has a whole tshuva about this, about this shaila. What's the role of the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf? He writes that he gives you the whole history. The original practice used to be that the rabbi would hold the sermon right after the bracha of maftir, like after maftir, we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and the rabbi doesn't talk after the tkiyah shofar on the shuls, but the rabbi gives a sermon on Rosh Hashanah. It's before tkiyah shofar, it's right after the bracha on the haftarah, so the rabbi would give a sermon. Then they changed the minhag. Why? They changed it that the rabbi should give the sermon after Kriyas HaTorah. Because a lot of people would have the practice of coming late to the davening on Shabbos morning. That's an old minhag. And they would be standing Shmona Esrei before Kriyas HaTorah. They would be standing Shmona Esrei of Shachris. The Chazan already finished the Chazoras HaShatz of Shachris. They already took out the Sefer Torah. Or they're about to take out the Sefer Torah, whatever. But a lot of people came to shul late. So they would be standing Shmanes, and the rabbi would holding a sermon. The rabbi would be holding a sermon. So the rabbis felt very uncomfortable. They're holding a sermon, and after people in the shul, a lot of people in the shul are saying Tefillah Balachash at that time. So that's why they moved the rabbi's sermon to after the whole Kriyas HaTorah is all over. So then there was still a problem, because there were so many people coming late to shul. So when the rabbi would hold his drasha after the whole Kriyas HaTorah is all over on Shabbos, after all the seven aliyahs and haftarah, still, there were people who were staying Tefillah Balachash. So the rabbi's up, standing up by the bima, holding a drasha, and a whole bunch of people are staying tefillah belachash. So then they decided to postpone the drasha another few minutes. So they moved the drasha sachacham after minuchayim. So by that time already, all the people who came late have already been bekatzer, and they already finished the tefillah belachash. But the shaila is, if the chatzi kaddish before musaf is not really an introduction to the musaf, it's really relates back to the ashrei, and the rabbi's going to hold the sermon for 15, 20 minutes. So how does it relate back? It's a hapsoke. So that's what the shari, the Mat Ephraim, is a separate sefer, but Ephraim's on the Margolius, on the dinam of Chodesh Elul, and Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur, and a little bit on Sukkot. So he says, when the chazan says, in the honey mimas, also that's a hapsoke. You don't say Chatzikadosh doesn't relate to Yinni. Chatzikadosh is supposed to relate back to a perikantilim. So if the chazan took a lot of time to say, usually it takes a few minutes till he finishes Yinni Mimas, so more correct is that the chazan should say another perik of tilim, or the chazan should say Gimel Psukim, should say a few Psukim, so the Chatzikadosh will relate back to those Gimel Psukim. So some of the Rabbanim introduced that practice. When they hold the sermon in shul, when they finish their sermon, so the chazan is going to daven for anomet before he says the chatzikadosh. Chatzikadosh doesn't—it's not supposed to be laid back to the rabbi's sermon. And according to these poskim, it's not the introduction to musaf. So they should say a perik and tilim softly, so the chatzikadosh will be laid back to that perik and tilim. So that's really so the Mishnah. It's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. Here, the Mishnah Berurah is adopting a position that the Chatzikadosh relates back to the Ashrei. And thereby, Rosh Chodesh, he said, the different parts of the Mishnah were written by different members of the family. So there he writes, more correct is that you should take off the tefillin on Rosh Chodesh before you say, before you get to the Chatzikadosh. So that you say Chatzikadosh, right away you go into the Musaf, tefillah belachash. Because the Chatzikadosh it really doesn't relate back to the Ashrei, it's the introduction to the Musaf. It's really a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Soloveitchik thought also like that, like the other Mishnah Berurah. The more correct is that just like Ashrei is the Ashrei before Baruch Hu and Shachris is the introduction to Shachris. Shachris, Tefillah B'Tzibur of Shachris begins with the Chatzikadosh. So Tefillah B'Tzibur of Musaf begins with the Chatzikadosh that's recited right before the Musaf. So he thought, like the Mishnah Berurah writes there, more correct is everyone should really take off the tefillin before the chazan says the Chatzikadosh, and the Chatzikadosh will lead you right into the into the musaf, into the tefillah v'tzibah. Then the Mishnah Berurah has about the minhagim of saying Avarachmin. So he writes what many people have the practice. That even on Chodesh Nissan, you don't say Tachnun, and therefore you shouldn't say Abarachmin. And on Shabbos, Mabarchim, the meaning is also you don't say Abarachmin. But after Pesach, on the Shabbos, Mabarchim, Rosh Chodesh year, so the meaning is that one says Abarachmin, even though you have Tartili Tivusa. It's both Chodesh Nissan and on Shabbos, Mabarchim, and even if there's a Chosan, if there's a Bris, Tlosil Tivusa, you still say Tachnun. And Moshe Feinstein writes in the Igros Moshe that the minig in many places is that we don't follow this Mishnah Berurah. Then at the end of Chodesh Nisan, you don't say Tachna, even if it wouldn't be Shabbos Mavoch. Kal v'chaimer if it is Shabbos Mavoch. Okay. Simer Resh Pehei is all about Shnei Mikvech Targum. I apologize, I have to run to be Menachem Ovel tonight, so I'll have to cut the shiur short. And B'lineda next week, we'll continue with him in Resh Pei.
Sure.
Does Levy know if there's going to be part of the shiur on Friday?
I don't think I'll be able to.
No, part of the shiur on Friday, okay.
No, it'll be too difficult.
Also, thank you, good night.